Lord, it is good for us to be here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Picture a pregnant woman who is put in prison, where she remains until the time of her delivery. She even gives birth there, and is then condemned to pass the remainder of her life in the dungeon to bring up her child there. As he grows older, the mother desires to give him some idea of things in the outside world. For having lived only in that continual darkness, he has no idea of the light of the sun, the beauty of the stars, the loveliness of nature. Since the mother wants to teach him all these things, they lower a lamp or a lighted candle to her. With this, she attempts to make him conceive, as best she can, the beauty of a bright day. She tells him the sun and the stars are made like this, spread out like a great light. Then the poor woman tries to give him an idea of the beauty of hills covered with trees, various fruits, oranges, lemons, pears, apples, and the like. The child knows nothing of all that, nor of how it can be, though his mother, holding in her hand some leaves of those trees, may tell him, "My child, they are covered with leaves like these," showing him an apple or an orange. They are also laden with fruits such as these. Are they not beautiful? It is with this parable that the Pope, St. Gregory the Great, describes our experience in this Valley of Tears. We can imagine the Mother as Holy Mother Church, speaking to us of the great and beautiful things that await us in our heavenly home. We are that poor boy born into the dungeon, knowing not of the marvelous things that our Lord has prepared for us. For as the great Apostle St. Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what things God hath prepared for those who love him. And yet on this day we see our blessed Savior console his chosen apostles. Our Master pulls back the veil for but a few moments. Like that tender mother in St. Gregory's parable, he helps Peter, James, and John conceive of our true home, beholding a glimpse of his true nature. This consolation, however, is meant to prepare them, to strengthen them for the trial to come. In this second week of Lent, which we now begin, our Holy Mother, the Church, like the mother from the parable, tries to give us a glimpse of the wonders of our Lord. But it is also to warn us not to make the same mistakes as these great apostles. We must use the consolations of God well to remain close to him in times of trial. Peter, James, and John receive a great consolation on this day, a true consolation. And yet it is these same men who will flee our Master's sacred side when faced with the terrible specter of our blessed Savior's betrayal into the hands of his enemies, of his passion and death, Peter going so far as to deny he ever knew him. As we walk through this Valley of Tears, therefore, towards our heavenly home, as we continue our voyage in this season of Lent towards the death and resurrection of our blessed Savior, we do well to think on this Sunday of the Transfiguration of the purpose of consolations, true consolations, and how to use them well according to the teachings of our great patron, St. Francis de Sales. In part four of his incomparable introduction to the devout life, our dear saint speaks of consolations. We pass through many spiritual seasons in this life, he says, just like the natural world around us. We are like a ship, he continues. We may be turned and buffeted by the waves and winds of afflictions. However, it is essential that our compass, the compass of our will, always point towards true north, that is to say, to remain firmly fixed in the resolution to love God and to serve him. As our dear saint says, quote, we must have a firm resolution to remain fixed in the precious love of God, continuing with constancy in the midst of the changing circumstances of consolations and afflictions, whether spiritual or temporal, exterior or interior. We may define consolation as anything that brings us relief, sweetness, delight, tenderness of heart. And yet, although they may accompany and support true devotion, these experiences must never be confused with the true love of God itself. There are many people who weep at our Savior's passion, who are moved with heartfelt sorrow at the suffering of Christ. We might watch a film depiction of our Savior's sufferings and be moved to many tears. And yet, the moment that their tears have dried, many such people turn in anger and fury on their neighbor, proving that their devotion was as fictitious as their sorrow was brief. We must be on guard, therefore, because sometimes consolations can be a deception of our enemy Satan, who uses them as a kind of entertainment or distraction for our soul. He wishes to turn us away from the duties of our state of life, our charity towards our neighbor, the necessity of perseverance in great suffering. However, consolations of all sorts can also and often are true gifts from God, whether they be sensible in our emotions, gifts arranged for us by His providence, or merely an easing of our burdens. And in those moments, they are a true foretaste of our heavenly glory. Like the little glimpses that the mother of the child born in the prison from St. Gregory's parable gave to the boy in order to help him conceive the delights of the true world beyond the walls. How, therefore, may we distinguish true consolation from the consolations that are mere illusions brought about by our enemy? St. Francis de Sales gives us keys to this all-important discernment. As our Savior said, we must judge them by their fruits. Our hearts are trees, St. Francis de Sales says. The affections and passions are the branches, and their works or deeds are the fruits. A heart is good, he says, when it has good affections and passions. If these sweet feelings, tender sentiments, and consolations make us humbler, more patient, yielding, charitable, compassionate towards our neighbor, more fervent in mortifying our immoderate passions and evil inclinations, more constant in our religious exercises, then they surely proceed from God. On the contrary, the illusions of the enemy of our souls, those false consolations, if they merely make us curious, harsh, quarrelsome, impatient, obstinate, presumptuous, rigorous toward our neighbor, if they make us to imagine ourselves to be little saints and scorn correction, then beyond all doubt, St. Francis de Sales says, these are false and pernicious consolations. Quoting our Savior, our saint says, for a good tree can only bring forth good fruit. Whenever we receive true consolations, our first instinct must be to praise the God who so sweetly grants them to us, rejecting thoughts of self-praise and self-satisfaction. When we are given a gift that delights us, we must remember the gift in itself is good. We are not made any better or worse for the gift. The gift is a reflection of the goodness of the giver. Likewise, for these consolations, let all praise be for God, St. Francis de Sales reminds us. Above all, we must remember with a holy fear, on this Sunday in particular, that even good consolations can be made barren by our inconstancy, by our lack of cooperation with God's holy will, as they were most sorrowfully for Peter, James, and John. As we have said, these dear saints do not fail to enjoy the delights of Mount Tabor, beholding our blessed Savior transfigured. Saint Peter exclaimed, "How good it is for us to be here." Yet, after seeing the transfiguration, these same three, when seeing our Savior sweat drops of his most precious blood from his sacred body, abandon him immediately when his hour to suffer had come. Therefore, we must remember that consolations are given to prepare us for those moments when our Lord's love asks sacrifice of us, not merely to bear our cross, but to carry it with joy, love, and fidelity. Consolation is a reminder of the presence of God, both in the moment He gives joy and also a promise of his presence when we no longer feel it. Indeed, when we have grown in the spiritual life, St. Francis de Sales says that we must detach ourselves even from these consolations, as good and holy as they may be. Those sweet and tender thoughts you may experience at Holy Mass or in prayer, the true consolation of peace and tranquility, or even exterior consolations, peace in your family, material sufficiency, these can be and are good and holy things. We must accept them with gratitude from the hand of our Blessed Savior. But as we grow in perfection, St. Francis de Sales says, we must not put our heart in them. He says that, quote, we must withdraw our heart from them and protest that even though we humbly accept them and love them, for God sends them and they arouse us to love for him, nonetheless, these are not what we truly seek, but rather God himself and his holy love. Not the consolations, but the consoler. Not their sweetness, but the sweet Savior. Not their tenderness, but him who is the delight of heaven and earth. Our soul is a ship, St. Francis de Sales had said, and our will must remain firmly fixed like a compass on true north, that whether we are carried by the gentle breeze of consolation or battered by the storms of affliction and desolation, our eyes might always remain firmly fixed on his holy face. What desolation for our Savior to have shown his chosen apostles so sweet a vision on Mount Tabor, only then to find himself abandoned on Mount Calvary. St. John is there, yes, but only after having abandoned him. And where is Peter, prince of the apostles? Where is James? Let us, by the intercession of these three saints and of our dear, sweet, blessed Mother who never abandoned our Lord, let us be worthy to receive humbly and gratefully the consolations God deigns to send us, but to use them to prepare us to greater acts of love, abandonment, steadfastness, perseverance in his holy will. Let us ask St. Francis de Sales too, that we might be worthy to make St. Peter's words our own, that we might say both in consolation and desolation, not only on Mount Tabor, but also on Mount Calvary, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.